I missed you on Sunday, Ryan. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Oh, see, that guy. I'm telling you. All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Kozman. Elohim Tov. Baruch Shemcha Adonai Eloheinu. Melech HaHolam. Today I am doing a message concerning a ministry called Parable of the Vineyard, which I have unsubscribed to, and because people woke me up, it was either Friday or Saturday morning, and they say, have you heard this message from Adam? And I said, no, I haven't heard any message. Then I said, well, let me go back to sleep. It's early. It was early in the morning, Pastor Ben. Hmm. And someone said, I hit my phone again. Please look at this message from Adam. This is really going to affect the body of Christ. And I said, okay, I'll look at it when I get up. I was like, it's early here, you know, because some people call him from Jersey and stuff. Then my phone just started going off and off and off, and everybody wants to know about this horrible message from Parable of the Vineyard. And basically, what the message was that no believer should be using the name Jesus, because Jesus, he feels, is the mark of the beast. That's the message this guy put out to the body of Christ. Jesus is the mark of the beast.
Wow.
And because you have Jesus on your mind, you have the mark on your forehead.
Oh, my goodness.
And because you have Jesus and you do your works in the name of Jesus, his mark is in your right hand, so therefore you have the mark of the beast on your forehead and in your right hand, because you are using the name of Jesus when his real name is Yahuwah.
Okay.
Because he obviously his Hebrew is not very well either, okay? Because Yahuwah is not a word in any language, okay? Yahshua is not a word. Yahuwah and Yahushua is not a word in any language, okay? There's nobody speaking Hebrew that is going to ever call Jesus Yahshua, okay? Yahushua or Yahushua or whatever. It's, the whole pronunciation is wrong, okay? In the scripture, the Israelites say in Psalms, I think 118:14, he says, they say, you have now become our Yeshua, okay? Because the word Yeshua means salvation.
Right.
Jesus is God's salvation. His name is Yeshua. When he was born, his mother named him Yeshua, right? Mm-hmm. The proper name, way to pronounce it, is Yeshua. If you watch Passion of the Christ, when the mother comes out and she's calling her son, she says, Yeshua. And then he comes over and he talks to her. You know how much money they paid people to do that movie so that the language would be right in the Passion of the Christ? A lot of money, okay? So these people knew the language, so the mother would say, Yeshua, come here. And but she would call him by the name Yeshua. It was not Yahuwah, I can't even pronounce it. It's such bad pronunciation. Anyway, he has a friend, and he pronounces as Yahshua, so they have a difference in how to pronounce the name. Okay. So, we're going to tackle a few things tonight that are just absolute evil. I thought like somebody from a satanic group put this video out. But no, it was a parable of the vineyard. And I know what happened. And this is what happens, Pastor Ben. After you learn a little Hebrew, mm-hmm. you start thinking you're Jewish. Then you want to grow a beard. Then you want to start keeping all the feast days. Then you insist that you got to be at church on Shabbat and you can't go on Sunday anymore. Then you start thinking all Christians are evil because they don't understand the feast days and what you understand. Mm-hmm. And so now they become less of God's children than you are. Mm-hmm. So then now you start trying to pronounce Hebrew words, which you haven't learned the language. I've been studying Hebrew since 2001. I started with 22 letters in 2001. I had to go to an Orthodox Jewish synagogue just to immerse myself into the language so that I could know the language, right? Mm-hmm. But God protected my heart. He knew no matter how much Hebrew you learn, you're not Jewish.
Amen.
You're not Jewish. You are a African American learning Hebrew for the purpose of learning the Bible better.
Yeah.
Okay? Learning the feast days is wonderful, okay? Uh-huh. Because they pertain to prophecies.
Yeah.
Okay? All of this stuff is good. Now, if and I believe the Lord gave me this. We have a word in our language called boss, okay? We all know what the boss is, right?
Right.
Who's the boss? Okay, somebody's the boss. If someone is the boss and a bunch of guys are hanging around and they're not working hard and one of them stand up and say, hey, the boss is coming.
Mm-hmm.
All of them move and start, hey, we got to get everything together because the boss is coming, right?
Right.
Now, no matter what language, what place in the world, if somebody is working, no matter what language they say boss in, they know it's time to move and start working because boss carries the same authority no matter what language,
wow.
Right? Yeshua, which is Jesus' name in Hebrew, carries the same authority. No matter what language you speak it in, it's still boss.
Yes.
And demons fear when they hear the word boss, okay? Because when they say, a Spanish guy, he wakes up and he says, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. The demon says, oh my goodness, they're calling on the name.
They know.
And they take off. If someone in Arabic says, Esau, in the name of Esau, who died on the cross for me, come out. The demon know who Esau is.
Yeah.
You understand? The name has authority because no matter what language it's in, it still means he's the boss. He has the authority. And so you don't have we don't have a problem with what language you use the name Jesus, because language is not the problem with God. God is the one who created 70 languages. And I was looking up today and I counted 93, you know, because sometimes you get subgroups in different languages. But 70 nations were separated and God started all of these languages. OK, so God, since he's the one who created all the languages,
mm-hmm.
knows his name in every language.
Yeah.
Pastor Ben, you know the story. I was at the Hebrew synagogue and I'm there every week and I'm trying to like submerge myself in Hebrew. And they asked me the first day, what's your name? And I said, oh, my name is Sandy. And from that day on, they start calling me holy.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, why are you calling me holy? You know what I mean? They didn't know I was a Christian because only one lady really called me out, and she said, I'll keep it a secret, but I know you're a Nazarene, right?
Wow.
A Nazarene,
wow.
Right? But they started calling me holy. And I'm like, why do they keep calling me holy? Is it like some joke, like a hooker comes holy guy, right? So I said, why you guys call me holy? He said, holy means Sandy. It's Sandy in Hebrew.
Hmm.
I was like, really? He said, yeah, your name in Hebrew is holy. Okay. I was like, oh, okay. So from now on, when they called, when they said, hey, holy, come here, right? I want to show you something, right? They would say, come, okay? But they would call me holy. It didn't offend me. Why? Because I knew they're just calling me my name in their language.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
If I call Jesus, demons know that I'm calling on the name of Jesus. Okay? You may remember this, Pastor Ben, and the Lord led me to tell this story. When I was working in Los Angeles, I met a young lady, and we started walking together. And she says, "I see you got your Bible on the metro. Are you a Christian?" I said, "Well, yes, I am a Christian, you know." And she went, "Wow, that's awesome." She says, "I've been a Christian for about 5 years now, and I am loving it." And I went, "Wow." She said, "I wish everybody had your attitude." She said, "It's the most exciting thing that's happened to me in my life." She said, "You want to hear my testimony?" I said, "We got a ways to walk, you know. We're walking to the bus." She was telling me her testimony. And she said, "I used to be a Mormon. I grew up Mormon." She came and spoke here, Pastor Ben, if you remember.
The lady, right?
She sure did. She came and spoke. She said, I was in the Mormon church growing up my whole life. She said, "Then one day I was taking a drive and there was nobody on the road. My car hit and my car fell over into a ditch and I was at the bottom of the ditch. The car turned over and she's like, 'I'm by myself. It's pitch dark. I'm down here by myself.'" She thought, "Oh my God, what's going to happen to me? Nobody knows that I'm even down here," right? So she called out, "Jesus, help me." And she said, the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're going to be all right. I'm sending help. You're going to be all right." And he comforted her and told her, "You're going to be all right." And she said she got a calmness over her spirit. She said before she knew it, about 30 minutes later, some ambulance came and some people, and they pulled a car up and they helped her up and saved her life, right? And she said, "When I met Jesus, you know what he told me? He said he's not Mormon." So she wrote a book called "I Met Jesus and He's Not Mormon." Right? Yeah.
I remember.
But she called on the name of Jesus and the Lord came and helped. Okay? So I want you to know there is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Demons and satanic people always want to take the name of Jesus out of your mouth, because that name is the name that is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, Jesus, Iso, Jesus, what else you want to call him, right? Whatever language you're in that name, because in all those names, you know what it means? Savior.
Yes.
And there's only one Savior, Mashiach, and that's Jesus Christ, right? They call and... So there's power in that name. And when that name is spoken, the whole universe pays attention. Not just demons pay attention. They're ready to flee. But angels pay attention because they want to know, what can we do for you in this powerful name? We are under the authority of this name. So anybody who is demonic wants to take Jesus out of your mouth.
Yes.
That's why when I heard about this video, I thought some satanic group put it out. Because why would people who love God want to take Jesus out of your mouth? But it's the arrogance of thinking that I've learned so much Hebrew and I'm now a, what do they call it? Hebrew roots movement. I'm the Hebrew roots movement. Now I keep the Sabbath and you don't, you dumb Christians.
Oh, my goodness.
One guy called me, told me, "Hey, I got kicked out of Calvary Chapel." He's one of the people that has his own video now. He got kicked out of Calvary Chapel. You know what he stood up? Stood up in the service and told him, "You people are all sinning. You're here serving Jesus on a Sunday. You're serving Yeshua on a Sunday, and you're supposed to be keeping the Sabbath." And they said, "Security." Kidding, my. And he got kicked out of Calvary Chapel. And he was bragging to me, "I got kicked out because I had to set him straight."
Really?
I'm like, "You
set him straight,
huh? Gumby head. And you're not Jewish. I don't care if you grow your beard. That doesn't make you Jewish." Okay.
Woo.
Let's get to the message.
Mercy.
Because I could go forever just being mad at this. Okay. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 24. Verse 4 and 5, and a Jewish guy in Israel also did a message about this video, and he did an excellent job on it. And I always follow him because he speaks very fluent Hebrew. He's hard to follow because he's always yelling. He's mad about everything sometimes. But he speaks very Steve Nanoon or something. The Nanoon. Yeah, is that the Nanoon Institute?
Yep.
Yeah, excellent guy. I like his Hebrew. Okay, so if you are in here in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read verse 4 and 5. Now, it says here, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." Now, Pastor Ben loaned me his Hebrew in New Testament, but I was reading it at home, and it doesn't say many will come saying that I am the Christ. It says many will come saying I am Christ. What does the word Christ mean? Anointed. That's all it means. Jesus, the anointed, or Yeshua, the anointed. The Messiah means anointed. So it doesn't say many will come in my name and claim that they are the Christ. It says many will come in my name in the Hebrew, claiming that they are Nishamiach, a Nashamiach. Okay? The N before means they will be claiming that they're anointed. Okay? They're going to be claiming that they're anointed. Not that they are HaMashiach, but Namashiach. Okay? HaMashiach is one. It means a specific person, one person. HaMashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach is Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed, right? Namashiach means anointed, just anointed. So it says, many will come in my name preaching and saying that I am anointed. Because not a lot of people are coming and saying that they're Jesus. But a lot of people are coming and saying, I'm anointed and I'm going to preach in his name. And God never called you to preach the gospel. And if God didn't call you, then you shouldn't be doing it, because James warns you that if God doesn't call you to do this, don't do it, because you can only do this if God has called you. And that's what makes YouTube so dangerous, because YouTube anoints everybody. As long as you can get some viewers, you're anointed. And you can say the dumbest things.
And they do.
And as long as you're getting views, they will keep you. You can keep your church as long as you're getting views. And you have to understand who you are speaking for has the keys to hell and judgment, okay? I asked Adam to take this video down. If he had the Spirit of God inside of him and the humility inside of him, he would have read all of the comments of all of the Christians that were hurt by him saying that Jesus is 666 and you shouldn't be using his name. He would have read all of those comments of people that were hurt by that, and he should have said, you know what, this is too much, I'm taking it down, if the Spirit of God is inside of him. But if the Spirit of God is not inside of you, the arrogance of you saying, I'm just right and I'm leaving it up, that's what's going to control you. And so there's an arrogance about, now he's got 109 viewers, right? 109,000 subscribers and 44,000 views on this video. So if they're paying him and he's loving money more than he's loving Jesus, then he's not taking it down. This is one of his best views. So you got to understand, people, forget YouTube, man. I don't even play this game with this church. I am ready to get a job every weekend if I have to. Because you know why? The church has to stay open, and I can't depend on outside people for me to do God's work. If I got to work and do God's work, that's what I'll do. Pastor Ben knows it. So forget that you have a lot of views. Repent of this. take this ridiculous evil video down, because parable of the vineyard could have been a good ministry, but now it's turning into this Hebrew roots confusion and just it, this video was so satanic. I was just looking at it and going, this is crazy. Let's look at what goes on in this video. Okay. Now, I want us to go to, so it says here that there are many who will come and claim that they are anointed and shall deceive many. Okay. So let's go to Jeremiah. The Lord's telling me to stick with the program. Okay. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 8 and 9, I believe. It says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. You see, that you're encouraging them to have these dreams. It says, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. So they use his name, but they're prophesying lies. I have not sent them, declared the Lord. You hear that? So understand that people have been doing this for a long time. Just as they had false prophets, we will have false prophets among us. And Jesus' commandment to us was, there will be many coming that will say they're anointed and speak in my name. But your job is to stay in the word for yourself and know that when you see something as foolish as this video, that you know that that is not from God.
Pastor Sonny Merritt said, did you notice the mesmerizing music?
Yeah. And he used, it wasn't mesmerizing. It was pineal gland music. It was like to set your mind in this state of openness to receive this message. So the whole thing looks so demonic. It looks so demonic as I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, I can't watch this whole thing. And he said people were turning it off. Well, I can see why, because the Holy Spirit was telling them, don't watch this. You know what I mean? Because he's using this music and he's trying to. Now, let's look at the intelligence that he uses in this absolutely dumb thing here.
So he changed bosses then. He's not working for Christ anymore.
He's not working for Christ right now. He's confused. And the Lord showed me a scripture that he's not. He thinks he is because he grew a beard and he thinks he's a rabbi now. Okay. So, Revelation. Okay, this is what it is. Now, one of the things that they're trying to preach to you is that there's not. Let me include the other partner in this that he has. This guy's name is Mike, and he has a thing called the Whole Bible Believers. That's his thing. Okay, and he's the one that is actually talking about Jesus is the 666. It's Adam who put it up, and then he's confirming with this guy that anyone using Jesus' name is really just using 666. Okay, so this is how they use it. Okay, Revelation chapter 11 verse 1. It says this, and there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Chapter 11 is taking place during the tribulation. What they're teaching people is that there's not going to be a temple in the tribulation. When they're talking about Satan is going to come and sit in the temple, he's really coming to sit in you, because you're the real temple, And so if you have Satan sitting in you, he's going to sit inside of you and declare that he is God inside of your temple, because there won't be a physical temple. But Revelation chapter 11 tells them to go and measure the temple and the altar where people worship. So there will be a temple during the tribulation. Yeah. This is before Jesus returns and builds the real temple, which is his temple, right? So there will be a temple during the tribulation. It is not a spiritual temple that is you, and Satan is going to come to sit in the hearts of Christians. So since Satan is going to come sit in the hearts of Christians, now they're saying, okay, so now Satan is going to come and sit inside of you. And the way he's getting you to worship him is by calling him Jesus.
Oh, boy.
These are people who say they love God. Okay. Now, I want to move on to, okay, Revelation chapter 13. Let's go there. Now watch this. This is now, here we are. We're in Revelation chapter 13, and then we're going to be at verse 15, okay? It says, he was given power to give breath to the image of the beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in his hand or in his forehead. Okay, that is the Greek. Okay, and it says, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. Okay, so he says the name is his number. Okay, so the name of the beast is his number. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of man. His number is 666. Let's go over to the board, Pastor Ben. So, when they write the number of the beast will be 666, they use these three, because every Greek letter is what? Is a number. It's like Hebrew. The letters are the numbers, okay? So this letter would be 600. This letter would be 60. And this letter would be 6. So he doesn't write out the whole spelling of 666. He writes the three letters like you would in Greek to write a number. This is a number. I called my friend George Matonakis. He's fluent Greek, okay? We were best buddies when I lived in Montreal, and I still call him today, right? He says, that's a number. This is a number. This is a number. This is 666 written in Greek. It's a number. He says, no, that number is also a name. This is what the parable of the vineyard guys are saying. And this X is actually in Greek a CH. And this, which was looks like an E, is actually the letter Z. And this is actually an S, which spells Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus. You kind of twist it in there. Hold up.
Jesus.
Now, my Greek friend said the only thing you could say out of that is cheese. So how they got Jesus out of cheese, I don't know. Okay? So he says, see? So they use this name, Jesus. And they say, and see, that's his name, and this is his number. So see, we got to stop saying this name, cheese. I have never prayed in the name of cheese. Okay? So, Pastor Ben, you stop it now. So,
oh boy.
I said, okay. He said, see, but the J didn't exist in the English language until the 1600s. And so they added that J in to make it spell Jesus. Okay, so they added that in the 1600s. So let's go back over here. Pastor Bentley.
Woo!
Have mercy.
Oh, boy. My people err for the lack of knowledge.
Some people err out of pride.
That's true.
And this is an error out of pride.
Yeah.
This is not of lack of knowledge. This is out of pride. This is when demonic spirits are getting involved because they're saying, twist the word. It's okay. We got to get Jesus out of their mouth. Okay? So, here, let me read this information that I have, okay?
I laugh like that.
Okay, so now, if it wasn't so sad, it would make me laugh too, Pastor Ben. Amen. So I went and I said, I'm going to do a study on the whole English language. Then since you say we had never had a J since the 1600, and it was King James who put the J in English, okay? Now, I personally believe that God created all the languages, and when he created all the languages, in one of or a few of those languages, there's a J, okay? So I do not believe that the J was created in the 1600s so they could especially use it to mess up Yeshua's name and call him cheese or cheese or whatever. Okay, here we go. All right. Now, I looked up this guy. Listen how long this stupidity has been going on. Debunking the myth of the secret name, because this myth that you can only say Jesus' name in Hebrew, or else you're profaning it. Really? Profaning a name is not mispronouncing it anyway. Because if you profaned it by mispronouncing it, Adam, you in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Because you have mispronounced Yahweh and Yeshua by saying Yahuwah and Yukawaka, whatever you've been saying, all of this stuff. It's like you have messed, you have, if that is profaning the name, you have profaned the name. Okay? So using the name of Jesus is not profaning Yeshua. It's just Yeshua in English.
Right.
But listen what this guy, it's called Debunking the Myth of the Secret Names. Okay? Part one by Carl D. Franklin, December 9th, 1997. So this isn't a new stupidity. This is a old thing, okay? But this is what it says. This is the myth. There was no J until about 500 years ago, it says, okay? And it says, the first symbol, but as he studied, the first symbol representing I and J appeared around 1800 A.D. This symbol was invented by a French monk who adopted it from the Roman writings. In 1066, the symbol was transported to Saxon England by William the Conqueror. Thus, the first symbol representing J sound was introduced into English-speaking people more than 900 years ago, okay? That's if you go by 1066, okay? So that's what? That means your J is like 600 years off, right? So, since you're saying that King James is the only thing. Then we got this other guy, Tinsdale, who says the J was used in his writings in 12 AD, okay? Then you got Jeffrey Conser, who used the J in 1380s in England, in 1380s, and they anointed him justice of the peace, and in his signed document, they use a J calling him justice of the peace for Kent in 1386. So you're saying 1600. So you just heard somebody say that the J didn't exist until the 1600, and you repeated it.
Right.
You didn't study it, because this was not hard for me to look up. Okay? You didn't study it. I mean, documented proof from 1300s. Now, I'll tell you when I think the J came into existence. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. When you get there, say amen. You there, Ryan?
Amen.
All right. It says, now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, now these people are all speaking the same language. Let's say they're all speaking Hebrew, right? They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and break them through, that they use bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down. Who is us? Elohim, yes. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Or Father, Word, Holy Spirit. Let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other, right? Mm-hmm. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the temple. That is why it is called Babel, which means confusion, in Hebrew, because there the Lord confused their language, confused the language of the whole world. Okay, for it says, from there the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth. So now in chapter 10, he gave you 70 nations that came from Shem, Ham, and Japhet. So you have at least 70 different languages throughout the whole world now, and people are being scattered. Somewhere in that world, somebody named their son Junior. Okay? With a J. Not Junior. Or not. Okay.
Ooh, have mercy.
But wait a minute. But look. Look, you guys.
Oh, boy.
Look. They're telling me that in the video, they're saying this: we didn't have a J till 1600s. So now all documentation has proven that there's been J's since as early as 800 AD after Christ. And guess, look at this. Look at this part. Listen to this portion. It says here, now watch this.
So if they're wrong about that, what else they're wrong about?
They're wrong about the whole thing. Okay. It says this guy, the guy who got the J in 800 said he, it says this symbol was inverted by the French monk who adapted it from the Roman writings. Mm. So the Romans had the J before the French in 800 AD. Okay? And so that means the Romans, so I pulled up the Roman alphabet. And look at that. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. But look, the J looks just like the I. You see that? So if someone saw that, they would go, okay, the J looks just like the I. Let's put a hook under the J so we can distinguish the J from the I. But this is in Roman. These are Roman letters, okay? So this is before 800 AD. So the debunk of the no J till 1600s is just another satanic lie that they're using so you can stop using the name of Jesus so that demons can feel more comfortable as they're doing their work. Who was that that said they went into this place? I think it was Tom Horn. He said they went into a place and they were letting him do some investigation. And they said, whatever you do while you're here, don't use the name Jesus. They don't want you to use, you got to promise me you're not going to use Jesus' name. Because there was some satanic stuff going on in there. But notice how they asked him, hey, don't use Jesus while you're in here. So I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. You know why? It means boss in every language. You understand? Okay. Now.
15.
Here we go. Here's our big one now. Now he's saying the mark of the beast is those people who don't keep the Sabbath because God made the Sabbath holy, and we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. And if we don't keep the Sabbath, we are now profaning God's name. And now the mark of the beast is the mark of the beast is people who don't keep the Sabbath and call on the name of Jesus. That's what they're telling them. OK, wow. Now watch this. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 31.
They're gearing up for this 7 years, aren't they?
Pastor Ben, I'm going to give you the last scripture. And this is what the Lord has to say to Adam and his friends. But I'll save that scripture for the last. OK, here you go. Now, it says in Exodus chapter 31, verse 15, I want you guys to know that I am not a, what do they call it? Hebrew roots church. We are not a Hebrew roots church. We are Hebrew knowledge church.
Yeah.
We use the Hebrew to have better knowledge of God's plan and his work. Okay. We don't use Hebrew to come back under Judaism and come back under the law and try to make ourselves gain salvation by keeping the Sabbath and the feast days and doing all the, and who is that? Connor was here, graduated from Rashan Messianic Bible College, did a great job, went to a Jewish Messianic church, and they told him he couldn't worship there until he got circumcised. And he came back and told me, I said, dude, you 20-something years old. That's going to hurt. I said, you need to go up and pray and ask God about that. But I showed him some scriptures that God said circumcision is no longer that anymore. Your circumcision is of your heart, and you already accepted Jesus.
Right.
So what are you about to do? You got to go through all that pain for no reason.
Yowza.
But see, if I was a Hebrew roots, I'd be like, yeah, you need to, yeah, because, you know, we're Jewish now. See, I grew my beard. Okay. Exodus chapter 31. And I'm going to read verse 12 first. Now watch this. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites. Who's Moses talking to?
Israelites.
The Israelites. You must observe the Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you from generations to come. Between who is the me and you?
Israelites.
The Israelites and God. Okay? Let's continue here. So you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. I'm going to go down to verse 16. It says, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it from generation to come as long as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and he rested. Now, the Sabbath is a mikra. It is a rehearsal for a bigger thing, which is the 1,000-year millennium, okay? God is telling the Jewish people to keep the Sabbath because it's going to be a covenant between me and you. I am speaking to the Israelites. It is a Sabbath between me and you, between God and the Israelites. He never says, tell the whole world, even the Gentiles, you all better keep the Sabbath. Okay? Because the way that the Jews separated them from the world, because when Sabbath came, you knew that they were not doing anything because they were separated and holy unto God. Okay? So the Sabbath was never given to the Gentile world. The Sabbath was given to the Jews. Can I keep the Sabbath now? Yes, I can. You know why? Because now I'm holy. I'm adopted into the family, and I can keep the Sabbath if I want. I can keep the feast days if I want. I can build a tabernacle in my backyard during that feast and enjoy it and spend my day talking about Jesus with my family. Why? Because I'm born again, right? If I'm just a Gentile and I don't know God, I don't have that right. But God did not make this to be a law for us that we better keep it or else. Okay. Now, all the laws were given to them, but then God came later, and then Jesus came, and he died on the cross, right? And then here we go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. And here, now look, I want to say this. Is all the word written by God, or you think the men are writing it on their own?
God's
right. If you know the numerical value, you just know it's possible that they're writing it. God is writing it, okay? But this is what Colossians says, okay? It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regarding to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
The Sabbath and all of the feast days, right? They were something that was to lead you to Christ. They were not something that the people of God or the whole world was supposed to stay under. God is even trying to get the Jews to come from under it.
Right.
He's trying to free them. He's saying, look, your husband died on the cross. Therefore, you're free to marry a new covenant. Since a bride can't marry until her husband dies, and I put that in the law, I made sure that your husband, me, who made the covenant with you first, came and died on the cross. And as I'm dying on the cross, they put Yahweh above my head, or Yahweh above my head, so that you knew that it was me dying, so therefore now you can go into a new covenant. And we are in this covenant, and that covenant says, don't you let anybody judge you concerning feast days, a new moon festival, or the Sabbath.
Right.
He's telling that to Christians.
Yes, he did.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, the apostles started meeting on the first day of the week after the resurrection of Christ. As a matter of fact, they met one time, and Paul preached so long, somebody fell asleep in a tree and almost died, right? But that was on first day of the week is Yom Rishon, which is Sunday, okay? Because it became the Lord's day, because it became the day of resurrection, because it's the eighth day, because God's plan is not a seven-day plan, it's an eighth-day plan to get us back to the new beginning,
yeah,
which is paradise, new world, new heavens, new earth,
yeah,
with God.
Amen.
Okay? So this law is not supposed to control us only until Christ came and then relieved us and gave us a new covenant.
Amen.
Okay? Let's go to one more scripture here. Galatians chapter 3.
Good word, Pastor Sandy.
Hold on.
What verse in chapter 3?
We're going to start at verse 23. It says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. You hear that? So the law was in charge. How many of you says a schoolmaster? So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster of the law. You understand?
Yes.
The law was a tutor or a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ and a better way of relationship. You understand? So all this judging people, standing up in a Christian church and telling people that they're evil because they're there on a Sunday, and you've become the Hebrew roots movement craziness. They even have some of the Mark Belts, and a lot of them are telling Jews that they don't need Jesus. All they got to do is confess the name of Yahweh. Yod Heh Vav Heh. And that means that now you are confessing the name, because Jesus is Yahweh and Yahweh is Jesus. So therefore, all you have to do is confess Yahweh. You don't have to believe in Jesus. What does that do for a Jew? He ain't never going to find Yeshua.
Right.
You're doing what the rabbis have done to them all their lives, is lie to them about the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' obedience and going to the cross and dying on the cross, God says, I have given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Esau, at the name of all the names that of every language that means salvation, mm-hmm. the anointed salvation that came from God,
Amen.
Under that name, he says, I have given all authority under that name, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to Jesus Christ. Now, you think these languages, in Revelation, it says he saw all of these people that you can't count, and they were praising God in every tongue and every language. You think everybody was calling him Yeshua?
No.
I know if you live in China, you're not calling him Yeshua.
Right.
If you live in Mexico, you're saying Jesus,
right?
I just thought of a joke and I can't tell it though, because we don't have time. But let me tell you guys, they're trying to take Jesus out of the mouths of Christians. This is Satan's plan. Okay. A false Jesus is coming. Okay. But the Bible has warned you about that, okay? About this false Messiah that's coming. I want to make sure I did. Oh, listen to this. At the end of it, he says, this is why we should get rid of the name of Jesus. This is what they rolled this with pride. Mm-hmm. It says, who ended the law? Jesus. Who ended the Sabbath? Jesus. Who ended the feast days? Jesus. Whose image is worshiped by Christians? Jesus. Who do Jesus worship as God? Jesus. Whose name is in their thoughts, their forehead, and whose name do they work, do they do their work in? Your right hand is your work.
Uh-huh.
So they're saying the mark of Jesus is in your forehead and it's in your hand. Okay? And it says, who replaced Yeshua? Jesus. He didn't replace him.
He is
Yeshua. You might as well go down to Mexico and tell all the Mexicans, Jesus is a bad person. He replaced Yeshua. So he's, we know he's Yeshua. I mean, he's Yeshua. But down here, he's Jesus.
Yeah.
Pastor Ben, I don't know how someone could put a video out like this. And, on point preparedness. Thank you. I forget your name. But thank you for doing a video about Hebrew Roots Movement. And you had a young lady. He was interviewing this young lady. And in the middle of the interview, he said, I used to be friends with Adam and Justice. And he said, I used to be friends with them. And then they got all sunk into this Hebrew Roots Movement. And he says, now I don't want to have nothing to do with them. They're so far from the truth. He said, it is a mess. He says, he texts me a message. He said, I don't even want to answer it because I want nothing to do with Adam or Parable of the Vineyard because they're so far from God. And I'm just saying, look, the same as God told a guy long time ago with your same name, Adam, you've sinned, repent.
Right.
You have sinned, repent. Come back to Christ. Get out of the law. Stop trying to make a sacred name out of 70 languages and understand that Yeshua is Jesus, is Jesus, is Esau, is the same person. Okay. That was the last thing there. Mark of the Sabbath. I did it. Praise God. I was able to do it.
Amen.
Tomorrow, we're going to get back to our Hebrew studies.
Amen.
Because the Lord woke me up at 5 o'clock the next day after all these messages say, I want you to go do a message about this. You gotta answer this. And because if we're taking the mark by believing in Jesus, it says that we will be burnt for eternity, right? It says anyone who takes the mark will be tossed into the lake of fire to burn with eternity among, right? So if us believing in Jesus Christ and saying, you know what, I just want to praise Jesus' name today. He said, oh, you're taking the mark. You're taking the name of Satan. No, you're not. You know, and if they have any love for God, they'll take that video down and apologize to the body of Christ, because it was really something very crazy to even see. Tomorrow we're getting back to the Bible, because that was, please. Oh, there's another crazy guy. He's putting out a video. He's mad at me because I won't believe that the tribulation lasts for 14 years.
14?
14 years.
Where did you get that number?
YouTube. They anointed him a pastor. And he's on there telling people that and he's got a group of people, and he says, okay, you 14ers, are you all ready for the new message today? And then he talks about how the tribulation is going to be 14 years. Not 1,260 days, 1,260 days. No, he's saying, no, it's going to be 14 years. Forget Daniel. Daniel didn't know what he's talking about. It's going to be 14 years. Forget Revelation. They know it splits it up perfectly into 7 years, 2,520 days. But it's going to be 14 years. And people are following him. And I'm like, and he asked me, what do you think about my new idea? I said, you're crazy.
His new idea.
Yeah. He sent it to me at first. I said, you're crazy. I said, you're making up stuff and trying to sound intelligent. I hope you're getting video chats and whatever, or you're getting monetized and they're sending you money for this, because you're not doing this for God, and you're going to pay for doing these type things to God's people. What do you got to say, Deacon?
Did he say get ready for the rapture?
You know what? I didn't even get that far. I just heard 14-year tribulation.
Yeah, but if he said...
But you know what he said? You say, you know what he said is the first rapture? In the middle of the tribulation, when he says, he told that he created us, and he took the Jews to... He said, go and he had a place reserved for the Jews during the middle of the tribulation that he hid them. He said, see, that's the first rapture. And then 7 years after that... But that's the middle of the tribulation. You know what I mean? So it's like...
Coming after the tribulation.
It was just weirdness. Okay, we can't watch everybody. I finally figured out who Tim was. I always said that guy was horrible. I always said, when he sit there with that little boy and he's talking, I think he's an adopted son or what, I always go, that guy is weird. I don't know if he's a pastor or not, but he's strange. But people listen to him, you know. And I'm just saying, look, if God didn't call you, don't do this. Tell me when Jesus called you to ministry. Tell me when God called you. Because like Pastor Ben says, there's no such thing as I've always been saved.
Right.
And there's no such thing as you've always been called. Mm-hmm. If you've been called to do ministry, God told you on a specific day, you are my minister. This is what I want you to do. That's what happened to me. Okay, very profound experience. I have a born on date. You understand? I know when God called me. If God didn't call you, don't you call yourself to ministry. Okay? Praise God. Let's go. See you guys tomorrow at Rashawn Messianic Bible College. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I just pray for all the people, Father God, all over the world, Father God. Africa, Carolyn, that sent me a thing from Africa. I love you. God bless you. I got to talk to Vicky yesterday, and God bless you, Vicky. Praise God for you. And for anybody that really just wants to talk about the word, I'm open. I'm not a celebrity. I am a pastor, a human being, but I do have kids and I have a wife, okay? So remember that. But in Jesus' name, Father God, I pray that you watch over them, you keep them, keep their minds in these last days as these demonic ministries are trying to come against them and pull them away from the purity of Jesus Christ as being Lord and Savior through faith. Amen.
Amen. Good word, Pastor.
All right. And I thought I wouldn't have nothing to say.
I don't know how you thought that.